Well, good evening and welcome to the service this evening. We are thinking of and we'll be hearing about the international mission to the Jewish people later on. But for now we are going to pray and then praise God for all that he does. So let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that you love all peoples everywhere. And Lord, that we can rest assured that you love us here. And Lord, that you across Europe have great love for your people, wherever they may be meeting. And Father, as we look forward to the talk this evening, we ask that you would make it a word of encouragement, that we would understand more and be able to pray in an informed way about the things that are happening. And Lord, we pray for everything that goes on this evening and ask that we would be glorifying and praising your holy name above all.
Amen.
I just wanted to read a few verses from the very first chapter of Romans. Romans 1, starting at verse 14. I am bound both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So we can declare, I am not ashamed of the gospel, and know that it is for all peoples everywhere. And we're just going to sing a few songs before Bogie comes to speak to us, three songs together, just to praise and worship God and to put him in his rightful place. And the first one says that, come now is the time to worship. So let's stand if you're able and sing together.
Thank you.
And now, the words of this song just echo what we're thinking of. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Song says, nothing compares to you, nothing compares to your promises, to the sound of your name, my Jesus, my Saviour.
To praise.
Pray together, shall we? Father God, we worship you and we have declared that nothing compares to you and all of your promises. And Lord, we thank you for Bogey and that she travels across Europe making known your promises to peoples everywhere. Lord, we pray for the communities that she meets with. And Lord, we ask that you would be a real blessing to her as she brings understanding to us this evening. As she explains what is happening across Europe and wider, further afield. So, Lord, be with her, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, if you just it works. Good. Oh, thank you so much that I can be here today. Actually, thank you so much for this song. I just love this very last song. I really love singing it. Yeah, okay. So, well, I am Bogey Kosma. As you can see it here, I'm a missionary with International Mission to Jewish People. And some of you might know this as Christian Witness to Israel. We just changed our name because it's a 180-year-old organization. It started with the Scottish Mission. It was an amazing start. Just imagine when Robert Mary McShane started going down to Palestine to spread the gospel among Jewish people, and at the same time, another missionary went to Hungary. Is it better? Good. So another missionary went to Hungary at the same time, and they started the work together or parallelly. And when Robert Murray McShane went back to Scotland, he had to realize that his church started such an amazing church growth that they just couldn't handle the amount of baptisms, and they had to invite new ministers from the seminary of Edinburgh. So it was just amazing. I will tell you about it a bit more about it later. But let's go back to the name change. We always try to make our name understandable for churches. And nowadays, we had to realize that people just didn't understand Christian Witness to Israel. And they said, no, we don't want to send money to Israel. And they shut down the phone. And we sometimes had the chance to explain, no, we are telling the gospel to Jewish people. And they said, then why don't you have a name like that? So that's why we changed. We are an international mission. It means that we have missionaries all over the world, in 4 continents, 9 countries. And we are a mission, so it means that we are telling the gospel to Jewish people. And yes, we are international mission to Jewish people. Our main focus is Jewish people. Yeah, you are celebrating me here. Cool, thank you. Okay, let's go on to the next slide. Because here I can show you a part, at least a part of my team. It's just a part because it was taken on 2020, just before the COVID in Oxford, and we have new missionaries on the staff now. So, but still you can see that this is quite a colorful group, and we are a cheerful group as well. We just had a chain of so destructive. So we just had a pardon? Thank you. It's a relief to be here. So come on. We just had a chain of outreaches this year from spring till even November. All over the world, we had the outreaches in 11 cities with the potential of reaching out for
a million Jewish people. It means that if you add up the Jewish population of the cities we had the outreaches in, it adds up to 1 million people. And we had the Budapest outreach in September. Well, Budapest is the place where I work in Hungary. This is the capital of Hungary. We have about 80,000 Jewish people there. So we had it in September, parallelly with the Jewish cultural festival. Sorry, it's in the evening. This is how I work in the evening. Sometimes words are dropping, but they come back. So we had it parallelly with the Jewish festival, a cultural festival, because Jewish people in Hungary tend to be very closed about their identities and about their Jewishness. And they are much more open when it's about the festival time, especially as I planned my leafleting times just nearby their events. Just before their events started, about one and a half hours before, and in the nearby streets or public transport spots, never at the doors. We didn't want to be offensive, you know. But this way, I can say that about 50 or 70% of those people accepting my leaflets were Jewish, and we had very good conversations, 65 spiritual conversations in 1 week. And we had four new Jewish contacts. That doesn't sound to be much, but all the four remained. Sometimes it happens that when we give out leaflets, people are very open and enthusiastic by that moment, and then they just forget about it. But they all remained, and I'm so thankful for it. Now go to the next slide, and we will see who I am. Well, I am a mother of three, and since last, well, the previous August, I'm a mother-in-law. You can see I have quite grown-up kids. The eldest one is in the middle in gray suit. He is the groom. He is 21. He studies in the university. He studies biology. And I'm such a proud mom because he was invited by a professor to a research, even though he is just doing his BA level. And he was invited to a research as a full-time job. So I'm very proud of him. And you can see the beautiful, his name is, by the way, Ferenc, or Ferko, as we call him at home. Then you can see his beautiful wife, the bride. Her name is Dorka. She is studying physiotherapy. Next to Dorka, you can see myself. And then next to me is my daughter. She is almost turned, so she's just turning to be 17. She's in the high school, in a special one for young artists, because she loves doing potteries, and this is her major, and this is what she wants to do for a living later on. On the other side of the groom, you can see my handsome husband. He is helping me voluntarily, but previously he was the missionary. We had to swap so that we have more time voluntarily and as a missionary, adding up together. Yes, his name is Ferenc as well. And yeah, that's about him. Then you can see my middle son, Levente, or Levi, who just started university this year, this September. He's 19, and he's an Hungarian literature major. Some churches ask me about how I got the call to do Jewish mission, because I am not Jewish myself. And the story goes back more than two decades now, when we were in the university and in the seminary at that time with my husband. And first we understood the call for the mission itself, then it took us a year to understand the call for Jewish mission in particular. Ferry wrote a paper for the seminary. The title was The Challenge of Jewish Mission in Hungary Today. And it was such a good one that the professor said that you should work on it more and shouldn't just put it to the drawer and forget about it. It should be used in the mission. So five of us gathered together in a campsite near Debrecen, where we lived at that time, to figure out who should do the mission The only thing we were sure about, that it's none of us. And by a godly coincidence, there was a mission conference at the same time, at the same place. And there was a Jewish missionary, Evan Thomas, a Jewish messianic pastor, Evan Thomas, from Israel, who was there, one of the speakers. And we invited him to come and... Okay, I will need some water, if someone can bring me. Thank you. Sorry, before I lose my voice. So Evan Thomas was there, and we just invited him to join us and lead us or advise us how we can find the person who is called for Jewish mission. And he prayed for us, each one of us. And he gave a special blessing for each one of us to empower us to do the mission itself. My husband's blessing was the blessing of evangelization, and my blessing was the blessing of love. And I can even use it when I see someone on the street and I feel an enormous love towards him or her, I can tell you that I'm sent towards him. Thank you so much. In one of the churches, I just lost my voice at the end. Let's go on. How I do my mission. I do it traditionally. In this picture, you can see Benjamin and Emma and me. Benjamin professed his faith in Jesus last year. And since then, Emma joined our Bible studies. You know, this is how missionaries are imagined. They are on the streets giving out leaflets, and they are sitting down with people, doing Bible studies together and talking with them. Well, this is what I do. We did Bible studies together. It was a systematic one based on the story of the creation, and I could show them. It's a very good story. We can show so much through this one story. I could show them the Holy Trinity. I could show the holiness of God. I could speak about the human nature, how we were created, what it means to be created on God's image, and how the sin came into picture. What is the punishment and the consequence of the sin, and what is the solution for it? And this point, we had to move to Jesus. So I told them about Jesus, and I asked Emma if she would like to follow Jesus. And she said, I don't know. I don't know too much about God and Jesus. And I was like, come on, we spent a year together. But so far, we had the teaching, mainly the teaching, and now came the story. I told her about how I made the two greatest decisions of my life back in my childhood. I was 12 when I decided to follow Jesus, and I was 14 when I fell in love with my husband-to-be. And of course I knew that I was still a child, and I didn't know much about either of these guys, but I had an impression. And I taught her that when we decided with my husband to go out together, I was at my age of 15, and I just decided to get to know more about him, to learn more about him, and then we will see how it will work. And it worked fine. And then she said, "Well, Boogie, this is what I want. I want to get to know more about God. I want to know more about him, and I don't want to focus on anyone else. I want to focus on Jesus and on God." And then we prayed together, and she professed her faith in Jesus, and it was just in this June on the 28th. So she is our newest sister in Jesus. Actually, she is one of the 30 Jewish people who professed faith so far this year through the work of International Mission to Jewish People. Let's go to the next picture. My mission needs to be creative as well. This is the logo that I used at the outreach. It's a Hungarian word. It sounds túlélők, and it means survivors. Survivors is the word that rings a bell for Jewish people because of the Holocaust. But as you can see, I parted the word to two parts. I designed it to two parts, and it expresses something more. It says living more or living over, getting some extra over your life. And if you see the accents on the top printed with blue, this is a Hebrew word. It's chai, it means life. So all these things together as a logo, it just raised Jewish people's attention. It was printed on our t-shirts, it was printed on our leaflets, it was printed everywhere where I could print. Well, not on my head, but really it just raised the attention, and it was not offensive. It was a very important thing not to be offensive. I used to be seconded to Jews for Jesus, worked alongside them, and we had to wear the Jews for Jesus t-shirt that was very good to raise the attention, but some Jewish people found it very offensive. But this logo was not offensive for them. They just loved it. They came to me asking who we are, and I could tell that we are a group of people, mainly Jewish people, because we do have a group, I will tell about it later. We are a group of people, mainly Jewish people, who either love Jesus and think he is our savior, or are interested in Jesus. And you know, it's not safe for Jewish people to ask questions about Jesus in a synagogue. And it can be a bit awkward to express your Jewish identity in a Christian church. So this is a safe place for Jewish people who have an interest about Jesus. And they love the idea, because if we could say that this is a safe place for Jewish people, it just meant so much for them. And also we had three open discussions during this outreach. I invited Christian experts to talk about survivor. I intentionally just lived out the topic of Holocaust, because Jews for Jesus is handling this, and we are good friends with Jews for Jesus, so I just let them go on with that one. I don't want to compete with them here, but I wanted to focus on much more recent and up-to-date survivor topics, like how to survive the pandemic, how to survive the financial crisis, how to survive the war in Ukraine, because we are neighboring Ukraine, and some people really have it in the back of their minds that the war might spread, how to survive a war. And they just found it fascinating. They wanted to come. They said, oh, definitely I want to come. Well, it was a pity that only a couple of them appeared finally. But it happens, you know, what I said, that they got enthusiastic on the street, then they go home and they are just sidetracked and forget about it. But still they found it interesting. And it's very important to find a way towards the individuals and be creative in finding the way. My husband and I sometimes sing together Jewish songs. In outreaches we were singing on the street, and it raised the attention as well. I have to use all my creativity. I have a lot. I have to stop myself not to overflow and to focus. But really, it's a good thing to be creative in my mission. I serve towards the intellectuals. Here you don't see this person, Jane, but I can tell you that she is on the left-hand side for you. This is the left. on the left-hand side building on the first floor, really you can see her window. This is a hospital, a Jewish hospital, and she is in that hospital now. When I first met Jane, she was an atheist, and she didn't want to speak about spiritual topics, so I had to be very careful with what I say. I had chit-chats for 1.5 hours, and then, if it fitted, I could squeeze a 5-minute scripture message in the topic. But once she was very ill, and even the doctors weren't sure if she would survive, so I thought, this might be my last chance to tell the gospel to her. And I told the gospel as gently as I could. You know what gospel, the word gospel means? Good news. But it starts with the bad news. It starts saying that you are a sinner, you are a hopeless sinner, and you need Jesus to save you from your state. And even though I tried to wrap it up gently, still I had to make the truth go through. And I said at the end, look, Jane, you are a journalist. In all your life, you were collecting information. So now I don't want you to decide, but I give you the information so that when you need it, you will have it. Even though I tried to be very gentle with her, she just got offended. I was glad that our friendship survived. But now, a year ago, she got into the hospital because after a home accident, she broke her leg and her shoulder. And due to her other health issues, it was very slow for her to get better. And she had to realize that amongst all of her friends, I am the only one who is willing to visit her regularly every week. When we had the lockdown, I was phoning her every week. And she just started to trust me again and started to have questions, spiritual questions from me, just easy ones, like, Boogie, could you explain the Holy Trinity for me? Yes, sure, I could. And I became her number one expert of Jewish traditions. Some Jewish people are not even aware of their own traditions, but she knows that I am prepared. So she asked me about Yom Kippur this September. This is the Day of Atonement, where Jewish people are fasting 25 hours, and fast for me, for them, means that they don't even drink. Nothing goes into the mouth, not even washing teeth, really. So they... You would like to try it, huh? Believe me, it's just exhausting. I tried it once. It was exhausting. But they are praying for forgiveness for their sins they committed in the last year. So I told Jane about the present traditions, about the biblical basis of this festival, and yes, about the gospel message as well. And she was not offended this time. She just needed my patience. She said at the end, Boogie, if this is true, I still cannot accept the sacrifice of Jesus because it is just too big for me to accept. I am not worthy. I know the story would have been more rosy for you if I could tell about her profession of faith, but just think about it. She started from being an atheist, and now she understands the value of the sacrifice of Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Let's go on to the next one. I serve towards the edge of society. No picture again, because it's a very sensitive story. By the way, I use pseudonyms and because I want to protect the identity of these people, but I use the same pseudonyms always in my literature. So Christopher was someone who met us on the streets during the outreach and accepted a leaflet. And as you can see, under the logo, you can see my phone number. He phoned me. And he started to tell me about his life. He had to experience very harsh abuse from his father in his childhood. Then he was taken out of the family and raised by the state, brought up by the state. Then he went to abroad, to work abroad, and when he arrived back, he wanted to contact the other part of his family, and they misled him and took away all the money he collected. And then he got in relationship with a lady who turned out to have HIV. And now Christopher has HIV himself. And he lost this lady in February. She died in February. And now he is at the edge of homelessness because it's not easy to find a job when you have HIV. And I was like, what can I say to someone who is such a in such a desperate situation? I cannot give him money. I cannot heal him. I cannot give him accommodation. I cannot give him job. I cannot take away those awful childhood memories. So I said, look, Christopher, I cannot answer your most urgent needs. I cannot do all these for you. But I can answer your greatest need, that is the need of restoring your relationship with God. I can tell you about Jesus and salvation. And he said, okay, let's talk about this. So we are going to do visits. I am going to do visits with him in public places and do Bible studies together. We also serve in a fellowship. I told you about this little group, the SAVE group for Jewish people. It is called Yom Tov. It means festival. And we gather together in our home church. It's a Presbyterian church. However, I was raised up in a Baptist family. And it was... Okay, I don't tell this story because the time is running. So we have the Yom Tov in that church. This is a very open-minded church. And it's very useful to have a safe place. And at the same time, it's very useful to have a fellowship. The fellowship itself was the one that really caught Emma's heart when we had the Passover meal together. She said she has never experienced such a fellowship anywhere else. And now on this outreach, we met Adam, who was searching for programs because he just retired and he wanted to fill up his diary. And he said, it sounds good to have a program like this. It sounds interesting. However, he is a theist himself as well. But he said, it sounds interesting to have a group of people who believe in Jesus or are interested in Jesus and still remain Jewish. So it's a very good tool in my hands. We meet every Friday evening. I would like you to pray with me. Pray with me for these people. For Benjamin. Oh yes, I didn't tell you about this part. Benjamin has survived 3 cancers and even lost his voice, lost a part of his vocal cords, and can only whisper. This is how he signs his poems, Whispering Benjamin. So he just developed another cancer and had a biopsy last week, so please pray for his health. And pray for Emma, his sister, who just professed her faith in Jesus this summer. Pray for Christopher and with the HIV, and Jane in the hospital, and Adam, who is looking for programs. We want to pray for these people because your prayers are very powerful. Once I was in a church near London, and they said, I told them about a lady whom I couldn't have contact for half a year by that time. And they started praying for her. And in the very next day, she called me. She contacted me. So this is how powerful your prayers are. That's why I want you to pray for these people. But if I ask you something, it's good to give something for you as a return, isn't it? Well, most of the churches where I have been were praying for church growth. Do you remember that I mentioned to you about this missionary, Robert Mary McShane, who had this enormous church growth? I can tell another story. Church members started to support Jewish mission in Hungary in prayers when the mission arrived to our country in 1841. The Presbyterian Church started to support it. And such a revival started in that church that we can experience the results even today. Why is it that Jewish mission usually goes together with revival? Because God had a promise to Abraham. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who say curse on you. And he has never withdrew this blessing. So this is why praying for Jewish mission is so important. I give you a little colorful paper. I want you to have it in your hands. Beverly, do I have an extra 5 minutes? Because this is 30 now. Sorry. Yes, I want everyone to have this colorful paper in your hands. If you don't have it on your seat, please just feel free to find. There are some extras. Please, just find. These are in the front seats and everywhere else. You even can have the pen with you. I just really need everyone to have this yellow sheet in your hands, because I have a game for you. Good, so everyone has it in your hands. Now, in this upper left corner, you can see a Bible verse. Can we read it together? Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. We all know maybe not. What do you think a watchman does? What is the duty of a watchman? Watching and? Give the warning. Yes, it was centuries ago. And give the warning of the danger. And, oh yes, we need to turn on the next page. Next slide. Yes, this is our slide now. So they had to warn the people of the danger. And we understand that this verse is about our responsibility to warn our beloved ones to the danger of sin. But if we have a closer look and we take it literally, what we see, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. How can you become the watchman for the people of Israel if you don't have a call for Jewish mission and you don't live in Israel and you don't have Jewish friends? Through prayers. Now that's why I have all these literature that I brought for you. You can find it there. Please take, because this is my last place, really. if it's not gone, I have to post it back. So, this is my regular prayer letter. It comes out every quarter of a year. And it tells you stories of my mission and new prayer items, how you can pray for my mission. This is the Herald magazine. It's from about the missionaries all over the world. It's a special edition because you can see me on the front page. But you can see stories about our Ukrainian refugee missionary who is now in Moldova with his wife, or about our Israeli missionary. Or yes, about the outreaches, the French and the Hungarian outreach. I can tell you these are really good stories from the mission field, and it's a much more pleasant reading than the news today. Also, you can see the praying always. These are very tiny little bits of prayer items from all over the world that comes in every month for you to keep on praying for Jewish mission. And these two others are if you are called for financial support. But I can tell you that next month I won't be with you. So how can you get all this literature regularly? Now this is why you have this colorful paper. Now we will do some craft with it, and we will learn to count to in Hungarian, to three. Are you okay with it? Good. So now first, turn this colorful part, or fold it frontwards. Then fold it backwards. And now we will count to three in Hungarian and tear this little part off. Ready? Okay. Egy. Kettő. Három. And now tear this off. And I can tell that you have excellent language skills and a new bookmark. Now, this bigger part is for your contact information, because even if you have the Herald magazine regularly, you cannot have my regular newsletter if you don't fill in this card, because we cannot send anything that is not requested. In this card, if you fill in the contact information part, then I put my initials on it and send it back to the office, and they will know that you ask for my newsletter. So please don't forget to fill in this contact card part and give it back to me so that I can send it to the office. Also, don't forget to tick the boxes on the other side according to your will. The first says, please tick here if you also want to receive email communication, and the second says, tick here if you do not want to receive printed communication. So the first is, please send me emails. The second, no postman at my door. Now, why do I have this little bookmark? Turn the page. Because we have a little empty slot here. Turn the page for me. It's okay. Here is the empty slot where you can write at least one of these names, and I would like you to pray, put it in your Bibles, and pray every day for these people, at least for one of them. And I am so eager to see how much their lives are changing. I give a little bit more time for you to write. Benjamin with the cancer, Emma who just professed faith, Christopher with the HIV, Jane, who is in the hospital, and Adam, who is looking for programs. Please pray for these people so that I can see the results. If we are ready with writing, just turn the page. I won't tell the whole story, just very briefly, about the power of prayer. He is a Jewish believer and had a very deep depression. And I started to visit him. And in this summer, he asked me how he could help the help God, how he could do anything for God. And I said, why don't you be my prayer warrior? And he just loved this expression. And he really is a prayer warrior. He prayed and things changed. Like, I got the permission from the police to give out the leaflets. Or the Baptist aid just called me that they cannot send the speaker they promised just a week before the event. And then he prayed, and in the next day they called me again, saying that they found a solution and can send a person. His prayers are powerful, but at the same time, his depression, he's starting to come out from his depression, because the power of prayer works backwards as well. Go on to the next slide. This is the very last one. If you want to contact me on Facebook, you can find me as Boglárka Kozma. I know, it's a long, but this is my name, actually. It means buttercup. If you contact me on Facebook, I can add you to my Bogian Mission group. And there I give some prayer items once or twice a week, very tiny ones, like, hey, I'm just on the train going to Budapest, please pray for my visit with Christopher. And I make it bilingual, Hungarian and English, and you can have a look into the very actions of the mission. But still, I do not post these stories there, so if you want to have these ones, don't forget to fill in the contact card and give it back to me. Well, that's about me now, and I am ready for questions. And sorry for being long. It's a good question. I know about Jewish people who remained believing in God, but many of them became atheists because of this experience. And it's a very big, I don't know the word. I know the word. Okay, so I have to work on it. I have to answer this question very often to Jewish people. And my usual answer, of course, every people needs a different answer, but one of my answers is that in those times, in the times of the Holocaust, the center of cultural life, philosophy, psychology, and everything was pretty much Berlin. And these people said that we don't want God anymore. We have the philosophy of humanism, so we know everything and we are good people. And God just might have said, okay, if you don't want me, let's see where you get. And from the brightest human ideas, this is where we get Nazism. So it's very important that if we want to exclude God from our lives, sometimes he steps back. And we can see how cruel the human nature is in itself. But there are some, anyway, who said that these were the traditions of our forefathers. I don't understand what is happening now, but because of the traditions of our forefathers, I must keep on doing the traditions and telling the prayers. But it was interesting that once I was in an open lecture run by the second leader of the Jewish university, the one who is responsible for the training of rabbis. And he had an open lecture, and one of the topics was that it's not essential to believe in God to be a good Jew. If you want to be a good Jew, it's still not essential to believe in God. Just keep the traditions, keep the Torah. You can keep the Torah without thinking, without faith in God.
Because they believe in doing work
Pardon?
The Jewish people, from what I've understood, is that they believe in the works that they do lead them onto salvation of their version, if they're, I can say that, or how would you turn it? They believe in their works counts
yeah.
something. Even though they don't have to believe in God, they believe their works count to something.
Yes, but if they don't believe in God, they don't believe that their works would lead them to eternity.
No.
But it's just that this is the way we live. This is how we can protect our Jewishness. There is a saying that Jewish people kept Shabbat, kept the Shabbat, but the Shabbat kept the Jewish people. So they believe that these works can keep their nation. Oh, I think I see your question. Sorry. It's very, when we go down to genealogy and go down to talk about it with Jewish people, I don't start with this. I really don't start with this because it leads to the question of Holy Trinity that leads them to the understanding, to their understanding of we worshipping three different gods. And I usually start, if I have to work from the very beginning, I first tell them about God himself as the creator. Then I can show them how in the Old Testament we can see the signs of the Holy Trinity. Like in their very own word for God, that is Elohim, it's a male plural word, plural noun. So why do you call God with a plural noun? Or, I'm better in these things in Hungarian. But I can show them the basis of the Holy Trinity in the Old Testament. And when this is done, I can tell about the humanity of Jesus and his origins. Usually they think about Jesus that most of the Jewish people think that Jesus really existed and he was really a Jewish person from a Jewish mother, but usually they think that they had a father unknown, if you see what I mean. But I can go into these details with them as well, and then we can go on to the genealogy with the Davidic and with the Davidic line, yes. But it takes a while. This is not really not the topic for nowadays Jewish people.
Yes.
So
it would make sense to work with the knowledge that they have and move
Yes. Yes, but they also know the Old Testament. They call it Tanakh. But as you say, their reading is... They have the Torah portions that they go through every year, the five about the five books of Moses, yes. What, once more?
Isaiah, I think it's 53.
Yes?
And that clearly talks about Jesus suffering.
Yes.
What do they think of that chapter?
It was interesting. I really thought that, that this would be a fascinating question for them until I was in an outreach in Amsterdam, and we were singing with my husband, we were singing Jewish songs on the park in a Jewish area. And there was, you know, when this just rose the people's attention, and when we had the break in singing, we could approach the people around us. So that's how I got to a lady, an Orthodox Jewish lady with several children around, and I asked her if she would be okay for me to sit down and to have a chat with her. And she said, fine, sure, why not? And I started with this Isaiah 53, and she was listening it a bit, and I asked her if what she thought about it. And she said, excuse me, don't take it wrong, but is there anyone who is interested in such a question? And I was like, you are an Orthodox Jew. I really thought you were. And then it turned out that she didn't even believe in the existence of God. So we had to start from the very beginning. So before rushing them with this Bible verse, we first have to set up the scene. Some other people, some other Orthodox Jews were really interested in this, but not this particular lady. So I really have to get to know the person first with some questions before rushing into several ideas of mine. If you, some of our other missionary fellows who work in London, I think this was him, who had the experience of showing them, or maybe the French guy, I don't know which of them, but some experience that showing the Jewish people the Isaiah 53, they thought this was a scripture from the New Testament. And then they showed him that no, it's from the Tanakh, from the Hebrew Bible. And when they thought it was from the New Testament, they said that it was about Jesus. Clearly, it was about Jesus. So when they had to see that it's from the Old Testament, they were a bit puzzled how their very own words can be taken back.
Thank you so much. That's wonderful.
Switch it off.
Thank you. Let's spend just a brief moment in prayer, and then we can go through for teas and coffees, close the service with our last song, and go through for teas and coffees, and there'll be time for more questions as well. Bogie's with us for this evening, so we can talk a bit more through in the lounge. Let's just pray for the people that we've mentioned and some of the other things that have been mentioned in the course of this evening. Let's pray. Father, we do bring friends that we've heard about this evening before you. And Lord, we want to remember their names and write them on our hearts. Father, we pray for Benjamin and Emma, for Christopher. Lord, we pray for Gerald and ask that his depression would lift. And Lord, we pray for Jane. and ask that she would heal. And Father, we want to continue to pray and bear these people before you. And Lord, we do seek after church growth. And Lord, we know that if we turn to you and seek to bless all peoples in unity, then we will grow as a church here in this place, in number, in spirituality, in relationships. But Lord, we will grow in you. And Father, we thank you for all that we've heard about tonight. Lord, we pray for each of those million Jews who've had some kind of contact over the course of this summer. And Lord, we pray that you would grow those seeds. We've just been talking about our church growth toolkit. Lord, we pray that you would indeed act in the same way on everything that Bogie and the rest of the group are doing. Lord, we pray that you would increase their number and that people would realize and see that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. And Father, we thank you for the way that you open eyes and open hearts and minds. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to do that in every situation. Amen. Just before we close our service, we're going to stand and sing one more song. And the words sort of really struck home to me as I was looking at the songs. And the second verse says, "The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives." And we have to give God all of the glory. To God be the glory. Let's stand and sing together.
Rejoice, O God, to the Father, through Jesus.
fill in your little forms and things and leave the section that you need to leave over on the side there for Bogey to collect, and also pick up, save her taking all the rest of the literature back on the aeroplane tomorrow. So pick up those things and then you can lighten her luggage ready for tomorrow and have a good read of all the different stories. And let's just say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. Do stay for tea and coffee and chat some more through in the lounge.